and that and narrowing her eyes, she kept glancing at the fool and back to Tom John. Then she turned to the oldest witch, the only person in the entire hot, damp room who seemed to have acquired a mug of beer, and whispered in her ear. The two started a spirited, whispered conversation. It was, thought Tom John, a particularly feminine way of talking. It normally took place on doorsteps, with all the participants standing with their arms folded, and if anyone was so ungracious as to walk past, they'd stop abruptly and watch them in silence until they were safely out of earshot. He became aware that Granny Weatherwax had stopped talking, and that the entire hall was staring at him expectantly. "Hello?" he said.
"It might be a good idea to hold the coronation tomorrow," said Granny. "It's not good for a kingdom to be without a ruler. It doesn't like it."
She stood up, pushed back her chair, and came and took Tom John's hand. He followed her unprotestingly across the flagstones and up the steps to the throne, where she had put her hands on his shoulders and pressed him gently down onto the threadbare red plush cushions. There was a scraping of benches and chairs. He looked around in panic. "What's happening now?" he said.
"Don't worry," said Granny firmly. "Everyone wants to come and swear loyalty to you. You just nod graciously and ask everyone what they do and if they enjoy it. Oh, and you'd better give them the crown back."
Tom John removed it quickly. "Why?" he said.
"They want to present it to you."
"But I've already got it," said Tom John desperately. Granny gave a patient sigh.
"Only in the, what's name, real sense," she said. "This is more ceremonial."
"You mean unreal?"
"Yes," said Granny, "but much more important."
Tom John gripped the arms of the throne. "Fetch me Howl," he said.
"No, you must do it like that. It's precedent, you see. First you meet the..."
"I said, fetch me the dwarf. Didn't you hear me, woman?" This time, Tom John got the spin and pitch of his voice just right, but Granny rallied magnificently.
"I don't think you quite realise who you are talking to, young man," she said.
Tom John half rose in his seat. He had played a great many kings, and most of them weren't the kind of kings who shook hands graciously and asked people whether they enjoyed their work. They were far more the type of kings who got people to charge into battle at 5 o'clock on freezing mornings, and still managed to persuade them that this was better than being in bed. He summoned them all and treated Granny Weatherwax to a blast of royal hauteur, pride and arrogance. "We thought we were talking to a subject," he said. "Now, do as we say." Granny's face was immobile for several seconds as she worked out what to do next. Then she smiled to herself, said lightly,
"As you wish,"
and went and dislodged Howl, who was still writing. The dwarf gave a stiff bow.
"None of that," snapped Tom John. "What do I do next?"
"I don't know. Do you want me to write an acceptance speech?"
"I told you I don't want to be king."
"Could be a problem with an acceptance speech, then," the dwarf agreed. "You really thought about this. Being king is a great role."
"But it's the only one you get to play."
Well, just tell them no, then."
"Just like that? Will it work?"
"It's got to be worth a try."
A group of Lancre dignitaries were approaching with the crown on a cushion. They wore expressions of constipated respect, coupled with just a hint of self-satisfaction. They carried the crown as if it was a present for a good boy. The mayor of Lancre coughed behind his hand.
"A proper coronation will take some time to arrange," he began. "But we would like..."
"No,"
said Tom John. The mayor hesitated.
"Pardon?"
he said.
"I won't accept it."
The mayor hesitated again. His lips moved and his eyes glazed slightly. He felt that he had got lost somewhere and decided it would be best to start again.
"A proper coronation will take..."
he ventured.
"It won't," said Tom John. "I will not be king."